Hello and welcome to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. I'm Barry Hennessy. On tonight's programme, Managing May. With just 4 weeks to go before post-primary schools break up and the state exams begin, how best can schools manage a busy and often complex month? Don't forget, if you have any comments or suggestions for the programme, you can email us at insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. If you've missed a programme and you'd like to catch up, you can access our online archive on our website, insideed.com. You can also download our weekly podcast on iTunes. First this week, as ever, we'll take a look at news from the world of education. And the Department of Education and Skills has confirmed to Inside Education that an appeals process is underway in respect of last summer's redeployment scheme for teachers at Belcamp College on Dublin's north side. 10 teachers from Belcamp College were redeployed last summer owing to the school's closure. The redeployment process was completed in the last week of June 2009 and had the effect of delaying post-primary recruitment in the capital in the traditionally busy May-June period. A spokesperson for the DES has told this programme that one request for a review of the redeployment decision was received by the deadline of the 31st of March this year. Under the terms of the scheme, the director will consider the extent to which the terms of the scheme were met and any other relevant factors raised by the parties. The director may, at his or her absolute discretion, either confirm the original redeployment or put in place a revised redeployment within the terms of the scheme. It's expected that the director's work will be completed by the end of June. Now, so far it appears that the possibility of a successful appeal is not impacting on teacher recruitment in the Dublin area, with quite a number of schools and the County Dublin VEC having placed ads in the press. We'll do our best to keep you informed, though, as the situation progresses. To the public sector agreement next, and just as members of the three teaching unions were receiving their ballot papers in the post, came some official clarification regarding the Croke Park agreement on public sector pay and conditions. The two LRC facilitators, Kieran Mulvey and Kevin Foley, this week published a series of clarifications on the main issues of pay and pensions. Chief among these is the apparent U-turn on plans to link public sector pensions to the cost of living, as opposed to the salary of serving public servants. The government now says there will be no change to the indexation of public sector pensions in the lifetime of the proposed agreement. In education, the teaching unions have received written clarification from the department that the proposed contract review will focus on ensuring the full availability of every day and every hour of the school year for tuition purposes, whilst other activities, such as school planning and continuous professional development, will take place outside of this time. This week's clarification received a cool reception from the secondary teachers' unions, both of which have reiterated their call for a no vote. The TUI's General Secretary, Peter McMenamin, said the clarification offers not even a morsel of comfort to teachers. The INTO, which represents primary teachers, is continuing to call for a yes vote. Finally in news this week, the ASTI has announced that Mr. Pat King has been appointed to the post of General Secretary of the Union with effect from September of this year. Mr. King will become General Secretary Designate in June. A native of Dublin, Pat King is a former teacher at Presentation Secondary School in Terenure. He's currently an Assistant General Secretary of the Union. He will succeed Mr. John White, who's retiring. And indeed, we look forward to speaking to Pat King about the road ahead for the ASTI when he takes up his appointment. And you're tuned to Inside Education here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with me, Barry Hennessy. Now, if you have any comments on what you're hearing, you can text us here live tonight on 087-977-1032, or you can email us anytime at insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Now, starting tomorrow morning, there'll be just 4 weeks left in the post-primary year, allowing for house exams for first, second and fifth years. Most schools probably have a little over 2 weeks of actual class contact time remaining. Add to that the impending state exams, the graduation ceremony for outgoing sixth years, a raft of staff retirements and the generalised merriment at the onset of summer, and this can be a difficult, nigh chaotic time in both classroom and staff room. So how best can schools manage May? Well, joining me in studio tonight to look at ending the year successfully are Tim Geraghty, Principal of St Tiernan's Community School in Ballally and current President of the National Association of Principals and Deputy Principals, and Alan Gilhooly, who's Chaplain at Coláiste Coislifa in Lucan and also PRO for the School Chaplains Association. Gentlemen, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. And Tim Geraghty, I will turn to you first of all to give me, I suppose, a little snapshot of the average post-primary school at this particular point in May. What kind of issues are landing on your desk?
Well, I suppose, Barry, we have to be conscious of the pressures that are on our students preparing for leaving certificate. and do our very best to both encourage them to continue their studies academically and to minimise those pressures and those stresses. And I think the very best things schools can do, can have, is to have a very clear programme for the completion of the school year, so that students fully understand exactly what will be taking place, what classes they will have, what days their classes will finish, what days their graduation ceremony is involved in, and to make sure that the full pastoral support of teachers is available to students and the other members of staff, such as guidance counsellors, chaplains and so on, are available to support the students, and to be conscious of the fact that it's not just the students who may be under pressure. Parents are concerned about the progress of their students at this point, and teachers are concerned. So maintaining the morale of staff, the meeting with the concerns of parents, and keeping undue pressure off the shoulders of students, I think, are the main challenges that a principal will face at this point.
Alan Gilhooly, is it a busy month for the school chaplain as well, or are they all equally as busy?
I think busy is an understatement. I think if you ask any of my fellow colleagues out there around the place, we kick it up a notch or two in the month of May, because we have so many things happening. In particular, the graduation service can really take an awful lot of time. A lot of things that one might not see that happens in the background of a graduation service. But then there's the other things that happen as well, like, for instance, what Tim was saying about, say, the exams as well. Students who are literally approaching you about stresses, worries that are happening, first of all at home, but as well as that then with the exams. So the exams seem to amplify a lot of their worries, their pressures. And as a result, then we're there to take that on, I suppose, in association with the teachers and the principals out there. Sometimes you would often see, I suppose it's part of the vocation of a chaplain, it's that one of the things that they would not be able to say is the word no. It's something that seems to exist in that vocation of, you know, going in as a chaplain, that whilst we might be contracted for 22 hours, you find that most chaplains will do anything from 22 to 45 hours as well.
Is the chaplain an isolated person in the school community? I mean, the issues are arriving on your doorstep, but obviously, you know, unless you're teaching religion or whatever, one assumes you're slightly distant from the average body of teachers, or is that fair?
I think it's a fair enough comment to make in some ways. In my own situation, I have a number of teaching hours that gives me certain direct contact with the students, so I would have one class with each class group during the week. But at the same time, I also am aware that during the break times, say whether it's the morning break or the lunchtime break, I'm out there patrolling the corridors, observing. A lot of people might see me walking around thinking he's just walking and doing nothing, but what I'm actually doing is taking in, see who's actually on their own, is there any groups there that are, you know, talking about certain things or various things like that. But it means that we don't get get that same contact in the staff room, that sort of gelling, that bonding that happens with the teachers when they're on break.
Tim Geraghty, I'm going to come back to you at this stage. Is it myth or reality that discipline can become even more of a problem as the summer holidays approach?
Well, Barry, I suppose the truth of the matter is that wherever there is increased stress, there is a likelihood that people will act out of character. And I know there have been instances where students have acted out of character, but I think by and large schools have taken a very structured approach to how they manage the end of the school year, as I said. And in our own school, it would be, I suppose, very much what happens in other schools, that when we come up towards the end of it on the Wednesday morning when we have our final assembly, we have a particular reflection and look back over the time that the 6 years have spent with us. We applaud them out of the hall as their final assembly, and we have a very structured day for their last day in preparation for their graduation, which starts with a breakfast with staff and themselves. So that over the years, students have come to understand the ritual of the end of school year. And my experience, I think, is the experience of many principals, is that where there's a clear understanding of the process and procedures that we're going through and how we're coming together, I think that makes a big difference. And the other thing I just would like to say is that I remember Sister Eileen Randalls at a conference of that describing the relationship between teachers in an Irish school and pupils as one of structured familiarity. I always thought it was a very good expression to describe the kind of relationships that exist. And I think over the years that kind of mutual respect between pupils and students has deepened. And, you know, whereas incidents may arise, they can, I think, readily be dealt with within the context of the normal school discipline.
Alan, I imagine that what Tim is saying with regard to the importance for structures is probably something that would resonate in your own work, that in reality, young people, by and large, like to know where they're going and like to have a sense of feeling that the school is still going to be a place which offers them certain certainties in their lives.
True. I mean, routine is something that is huge for any student out there. I mean, if you think about it, they've actually grown up with that psyche since the age of maybe about 4 years old. It's something that's been routine for them. It's something normal, and in that sort of structure, they can function. Even as a leaving cert, you know, is what anything to say, ages of 17 to 19. They still need that sense of routine, whether it's wearing the school uniform in the exams, or simply coming into school. I mean, something we would impress on parents in our own school is that that they would continue to get the students to come into school, because we find that a lot of students out there would tend to go for the last 2 to 3 weeks and stay at home or come into certain classes that they feel that they need more help in. But we find that, and it's from experience, that the students who stay in school and remain in school, we actually do an awful lot better in exams because of the supports there, because of the teachers, because of people like myself, careers, even special needs assistants that are there for them.
Tim, we sometimes forget, of course, that in reality the proper title for your job is principal teacher. And I suppose one of the issues at this time of year is everybody in teaching, every principal wants to get the very best out of the exam classes that they possibly can. But there's a balance to be struck, is there not, between giving the students the necessary push and encouragement that they need, but not pushing them over the edge?
Yes. I suppose one of the things that we do at this time of the year is we talk constantly to pupils, first of all, about our expectations for them, our wishes for them, but also to help them to meet the pressures that they put on themselves, because we've got to realise that Leaving Cert is a very complex evaluation now. And there is no bottom line and there is no top line, because a student can get 550 points and consider that they have not succeeded. Another student could be thrilled with 150 points. And the complexity of what they're facing generates sometimes uncertainty. And it's very important that we continue to emphasise the students to attend classes, to continue to focus on their study, to listen to the advice of their teachers, to take appropriate rest, to eat well, to call on the support of their family members, and to make sure that they avail of all the supports in the school. And most schools will have, supervised study programmes after school. They will have maybe maths clubs and a variety of different ways of supporting students. And I think by having a constant flow of communication, it does help students to remain focused. But you're dead right, Barry. The rest of the school has to progress as well. And teachers do focus right across the board. But they are very, very, very focused at this stage on making sure that Leaving Cert students remain as diligent as they can be in executing their studies.
Alan, is stress and, we'll call it stress, regarding exams, a major source of traffic at your door at this time of the year? And what tend to be the general sources of that stress?
Well, it depends if you're talking about the teachers or the students in that case.
Well, yeah, we can talk about any of them, but yes, yeah, we'll start with the students first.
Right, okay. Well, students tend to build up an awful lot of stress, and I was only talking to some of my exam classes there the other day about stress. I mean, you know, just to get them to understand, are they actually experiencing stress themselves, to identify the various things, whether it be, you know, the physical signs or the mental signs. You know, I mean, I'm part of an advertisement that we put together in the North Clondalkin area there. Just, it's outside of school, but it's Community Action on Suicide. And this week we're promoting Positive Mental Health Week. And this would be, I suppose, the right time of year for this to come out, because literally this time of year people are having these, I suppose, pictures in their mind about the dreaded Leaving Cert or the dreaded Junior Cert. And, you know, I suppose they are fears that they have. But it's important that, you know, they build up these fears from listening to each other, from, you know, this kind of hysteria from listening to other people. But then they don't seem to realise that there's people who've gone before them, and yeah, people continue afterwards.
Sure.
That will experience that same fear. But it's just to try and get that. And that's what I try and do, whether it's in the class or in the corridors, or it's even in little notice boards or small prayer services, or even a simple thing like a meditation. Just to bring them down to a sort of sense of reality, get their feet back on the ground. But that's very difficult out there, especially with the way media is as well.
Let's talk a little bit, I think, about the graduation ceremony, which is the centrepiece, really, of the end of year in so many schools. And Tim, you've already given us a wonderful example from your own school as to how structured the day is. But Alan, for you, I would say, as a chaplain, you've obviously got to marry the expectations of the various stakeholders in the school. The young people obviously are maybe focused on the party aspect of the thing. For parents, it's also an extremely important time. It can be a very emotional time for parents to see their 18-year-old about to move on from school. What are the elements that you think would make a good graduation ceremony that meets the needs of all partners in the school community?
Well, I'll take from my own experience in my own workplace. Up until this year, we had a prayer service, which we found was quite sort of ecumenical, more so than anything else. And we had some finger food afterwards. And it literally all happened within about 40 minutes. The kids then went off for a meal, and the teachers would have went along with them to the meal part. Now, of course, we'd been impressed on them that please don't be drinking when we're there, because we weren't there to be supervising them either. And then afterwards, then they were free to go off and do what they wanted to do. This year, we changed the tax slightly, and we introduced the mass into the ceremony, and we had the ceremony happen over a period of 2 hours. And what we found was, this is what, coming back to your question, Barry, is it's that whole sense of over a period of time, say whether it's an hour or two, to go through a ritual. And because it's a rite of passage, we have to remember as well that they're literally passing out from one system into another, whether it's the workplace or it's the education. But that it's celebrated in a way that is structured, that it meets the needs of the parents, because the parents need to be part of it too, and that's where the parents come in.
Tim, I you're nodding in agreement there. Of course, you've already told us about the structures in your school, but I take it this is very much your angle on it as well.
It is, and I think what Alan has said about involving everybody, all the key players in it, is very important. And I was just going to give you just an idea of maybe how our graduation ceremony shares the points of view of different kind of people. And what Alan has said is absolutely correct about ritual. But children and young people also have a very, very fine understanding of symbolism. And the symbol of light is huge in their lives. And two of the things, I'll just give you a brief idea. In our ceremony, the deputy principal gives the sixth year a lighted candle. And it says, "Carry this light from St. Tiernan's to a world that stands in need of wisdom, a world that faces decisions where choices never dreamt of in times past. Remember that everything you have learned in the school was learned in the company of others. Be open to the learning that is ahead of you. May you be a light of wisdom that will inspire you to find the good and the true." And just to give you one from the parent then, who gives a similar light, and I'm sure you've used this before, Alan. And the parent gives another student the light of candle, says, "On behalf of the parents who are here this evening, I offer all the 6 years the light of love. this is a light that we lit for you a long time ago. It is the light you depended on in those early days, the light you ran to when things went wrong, the light that was left on for you because you were afraid of the dark, the light that dressed you for your first day. And this is the light which waited up for you when you were late home, and the light that was there when sometimes you wished it wasn't.
Yes.
You know, so we're trying to bring, because it is a very emotional time for young people, and you've got to remember that they've travelled a big journey in school, from entering the school as children to leaving it as young adults, ready to go out and take their place in the world of further studies or the world of work. And we have to recognise and celebrate that journey with them, and at the same time, by affording them a kind of that opportunity to celebrate that journey, I think it helps them as well to be focused on their work.
Tim, I want to just talk to you about, I suppose, a concern that is widely expressed at this time of year, which is once the nice ceremony is over and they move on, and the issue is, I suppose, what they move on to, and concerns regarding the consumption of alcohol and the nature of the graduation party. I mean, is there anything realistically that a school principal can do as to what the students get up to when they leave the school gate that evening?
Well, our service takes place in the evening and it will finish at around 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the evening. And at that stage, they have graduated. Now, they come back in to study the following week and to meet their teachers. But at that stage, they have graduated and the school has, if you like, graduated them back into the responsibility of their family and their parents. And we see our responsibilities as ending at that point. Mm-hmm. And if they have organised something, we have spoken to their parents about what we feel is appropriate, and we will have mentioned it during our service and so on. But at that stage, it is their parents' responsibility and not the school's.
You also, of course, have a staff to manage, and at this time of year, coming up to the graduation, there's a lot of pressure often coming from the sixth years for the boundaries to begin to break down. Are you coming out for a drink with us, sir? All the rest of it. And needless to say, there are plenty of teachers who are distinctly uneasy about that. Do you give any particular guidelines to teachers or to your own staff regarding whether they should or should not socialise with the sixth years and about the limits of that?
Well, I'll put it to you like this, Barry. I mean, many sixth years now are actually underage. They'd be under 18, is what I mean, going out. And I don't think it's appropriate for our teachers to be going out into a bar drinking with young people who are underage drinking. And I suppose I just wanted to go back to my original point by having a structured sort of exit ceremony from the school, a structured graduation ceremony where everybody knows the various functions that are taking place, who's going to be attending, and the format that they will follow. I think it diminishes the pressure on teachers to take part in something that they would be very uncomfortable with.
Well, what type of student teacher activities, you know, do you think could be done? I mean, one often has football matches, a staff versus student football match. Is that the kind of thing, or are there other models you know of for how the young people's desire to have a different type of day with their teachers can be allied with the teacher's obvious concern about not getting into situations that they really would rather not be in?
Well, in many schools which have developed structures, pastoral care structures, you'll have a year head and you'll have tutors. And by and large, in our school, in many schools, they will manage the whole graduation process. And for example, on the final day in our school, there is a formal breakfast with all of their teachers and with the sixth-year students. So that's a new departure. It's not something that happens, but it's a formal contained celebration.
Yeah.
And it's a very fun activity. There's followed by a kind of a rehearsal for the for the evening graduation ceremony, and then the tutor and whatever teachers we can release who have been sixth-year teachers and the entire sixth-year cohort go on a shared activity. Now, it can be a hike into Dublin Mountains, a variety of things, which lasts until, say, about 2:30, where the students return to their families and then get ready for the graduation ceremony that evening.
Alan, I think you wanted to get in there.
Yeah, I'd like to also say that, I mean, the way students are with teachers nowadays as well, that relationship has changed. Even, I mean, I'm not long out of school myself. And you know, I know that relationship I had with my teacher was very much, it was a very clear boundary there. Nowadays there's a sort of a respect there as well. There's more, I mean, for instance, my own school teachers are called by their first name, And that in itself is a huge, you know, has an impact on that relationship.
Yeah.
But because the teachers develop that relationship with those students, whether it's over the 6 years or 3 years or even 1 year, especially in the last year, though, you'd notice the difference in the 6 years as well. There's usually a bit more leniency. They're given a little bit more, I suppose, responsibility to, you know, take care of themselves and also be responsible for their own behaviour.
Sure.
And when that's given to them, they do respond in kind, generally speaking.
So in essence, the need, I suppose, to gradually delegate authority to the seniors over an ongoing period of time.
That's right. And that comes from I suppose, years of practice from a teacher's point of view, but also as well, it's part of the school culture as well. Culture, and each school develops a different
tradition.
Too,
absolutely, absolutely.
Gentlemen, I'm conscious that the time is beginning to run a little bit short, and I did want to talk about something a little bit different, which is, of course, that there are students who come from backgrounds which are challenging or whatever, for whom school over the 8 months of the post-primary year is a haven in many instances from those difficulties. Mm-hmm. And these are kids who may not be looking forward to the onset of the holidays. Tim, are these issues that arrive at the average principal's door, and is there anything that can be done to provide some sort of reassurance or structure to young people whose families are maybe experiencing some kind of turmoil?
Are you talking now about leaving cert students?
Well,
or
in general.
Well, you know, holidays can be difficult times for many children because school provides a ready-made social existence. It provides a kind of a structured environment, and it provides the opportunities for them to share experiences with their friends, which very often can be lost during the summer holidays. And unless parents can provide activities and keep their kids occupied, some children can be at a loss. But there is a huge amount being done by community workers, by school completion programmes, to ensure that children have access to their peers, to have access to activities which will enable them to continue to meet their friends and enable them to grow and develop over the summer.
Alan?
Yeah, well, as a former community youth worker myself, I understand that need in particular in the summertime. Students are literally out of school and they're literally holding their heads up going, what do I do now for the next 2-3 months? For some who are more, have the advantage of going to, say, whether it's language college, whether it's an Irish or German, college, that's grand, they have structured activities. But for those who are less fortunate, who may not have that financial resources, then they're literally looking around what's out there available. And this is where the community programmes come in, whether it's the summer projects or something that's been developed by a certain community, whatever, that they kick in and they do take up the slack. And I have to admit, I don't think they get enough of credit for that too.
Sure. Well, gentlemen, I'm afraid that the clock, as was always going to be the case, has beaten us, and we could have talked, I'm quite sure, for the next 10 minutes or even more. But my thanks this evening to Alan Gilhooley of the School Chaplains Association, who's also chaplain at Coláiste Cuisliffe in Lucan, and also to Tim Geraghty, who's president of the National Association of Principals and Deputy Principals, and also principal of St Tiernan's Community School in Ballally. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming into us. And that is it from Inside Education for this week also. Don't forget our website, insideed.com, where you can listen back to this and all of our programmes, and you can also download our weekly podcast on iTunes. Up and Down, the Urban Music Show, is next tonight until next Sunday at 7:30 p.m. This is Barry Hennessy saying thank you for tuning our way, and good night. Thank you.